I believe this is the house that will reflect the heart of God. And last week, for the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about the house, which I would like it to be our house, or to reflect the house that is Liberty. A house found in Mark chapter 2. We've been talking about a house. They say that this house is the house of Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew, the two disciples, that Jesus went there and he healed the mother who was sick. And that was in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, you see that Jesus comes back to this house. This was an amazing house. It was a house that was full of people. It was a house of faith. It was a house of forgiveness. It was a house of family. It was a house of fabulous stories. It was just a fantastic house, a hub of activity, a hub where Jesus used as his base when he was in this place called Capernaum. And the last couple of weeks we preached from this, and I want to continue on this scriptures. Let me read it out to us again. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home to this home where he had been using as a base. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, a house of faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven," a house of forgiveness. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before. Amen." Father, bless your word to us. What a great house that we find in our scripture reading today. A hub of heaven's activity going on. Jesus preaching the gospel. Jesus sitting down teaching. People brought all of their sick people, their diseased people, their demon-possessed people. They brought them because they knew Jesus had been there before and he was doing kingdom business. So now he comes to this place and you know yourself, news gets around fast. Well, good news gets around fast as well as bad news. And everyone comes and the place is crowded that they can't even get in the door. Outside is crowded. It's a crowded house when outside is crowded, isn't it? And you know, in a typical house in them days in Israel would have been like a one or two story, but it had a flat roof and it would have been stairs going up to the roof, and it would have been like the roof would be made of tile and dried mud, and it would have been like the roof was part of the house that people would socialize up there, sit up there. And when these men came, this is my title of my sermon today, A House of the Few, F-E-W. A few men carried this man. I was talking to Peter during the night, and Maliki was asking me, "What's your F for this week? House of Faith, a House of Forgiveness." And I just hadn't got it. I wanted to talk about the four men, but I had to try find an F, because that's what us pastors and preachers think of. We think, I talked to Sharon in F's. No, not them F's. In there. Every time I talk to Sharon, it's in a 3-point sermon. Only joking. They all have their rhyme. And we're outside, me and Peter, after intercession talking. And Peter just quotes a scripture about, you know, many are called, a few are chosen. And I'm like, that's my F. The few. The house of the few. The house where four men took a corner each of his mat and carried him to Jesus. Where the few, many probably went by this man. We're not told who carried him. We're not told the relationship between the man on the mat and the four that carried him, or the few that carried him. They could have been family, they could have been friends, and we don't know. But what we do know, there was a few of them. There was a minority of people who took the time to take this paralytic to Jesus. In this case, a few was four. In other cases, depending on the quantity that you're talking about, a few could be many. If you're talking about hundreds of thousands, well, a few to hundreds of thousands is a couple of hundred, yeah? But in this case, it was four. Maybe he was lying down somewhere on the mat with nobody to bring him. Maybe he was a guy that people walked by every day, that many walked by, that many seen him. Maybe on this day, he was like the man at the pool in when Jesus went to him. He says, I've no one to help me get to the pool when the angel would come to stir the waters. I'm here 38 years. There was no one to help him. And maybe this man, because paralytic people and people that were crippled and blind and had leprosy, they hadn't got a lot of friends around them. They were a hindrance. And maybe this man seen the many go by. But four stopped. A few people stopped. And it only took a few to lift him to Jesus. It only took a few who was determined, who was compassionate, who had the tenacity of faith to get this man to Jesus. It was only a few that had an overcoming spirit that when they seen the crowd, the few says, we're going to get you to him. It only took a few to get him to where he needed to be. It only takes a few. See, with God, one person and God is a majority. It only takes a few to go beyond where the many would even look at and consider not worth their time. Many went by, but a few took this man to his miracle. And I want us to be determined to be part of the few. Let us determine as a house, as individuals. I don't want to be just part of the many. I want to be part of the few. The few that would stop, the few that would give, the few that will pray, the few that will bring others to Jesus, the few that will bring the lepers and the outcasts and the rich and the famous and the infamous to Jesus. Determined to be part of the few who follow him. You know, hundreds and hundreds of people was around Jesus, but compared to the hundreds, only a few followed him. Determined to be part of the few. Determined to be part of the few who will see the power of God. There is power in the few. Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, if two of you, a few, two is a few. If two of you on earth agree about anything and you ask for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. If a few ask, if a few pray, if a few come together and agree on anything, it will be done by my Father in heaven. That's how powerful a few is. And he goes on to say, for where two or three, a few, come together in my name, I present myself in the midst of them. I present, yet God is with us when we're on our own. But there's another dimension of God when the few is together. That be determined to be the few. It's my goal is to take as many from the many and get them to be the few. If that makes sense to you. That the many who travel, the many who come, the many who confess, the many who profess, the many, the many, the many. And sometimes the many is all talk, but the few. My goal is to get us to be part of the few. Ask God to make you part of the few. Make a decision. I want to be part of the few. Who can be the few? Anyone can be the few. There's no discrimination in God. Because the few find the things of God. Listen to some of these scriptures about the few. Matthew 7 verse 13. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Listen, you want to be part of those few. There's many that's on the road to destruction. There's many that travel the broad road. There's many that goes in through the wide gate and say, yeah, this is the life. This is the way I'm living. But Jesus says, not only in the end days does that life and that road lead to destruction, but even in this life, living the life according to the broad road and the narrow and the broad gate, the wide gate, he says, leads to destruction. But there is a road that leads to life. And there is a gate that leads to life. And Jesus says, and only a few find it. I thank God that I'm one of the few that has found it. And you thank God this day that you are part of the few that is living the life that God has for us. And you know what? Every time I read anything about the life in the scriptures that Jesus offers, I keep saying to myself, am I living below the life that Jesus has for me? And if I am, why? And if I'm ignorant, I'm going to find out. And if someone else has some part of the life of Jesus that I haven't got, I'm going to ask them, where did you get that bit of life? What did you have to do? What did you need to confess? What did you need to sacrifice? What did you need to give up? What did you need to take hold of? What did you need to believe? Because I want to be the few, part of the few, that has the life of Jesus flowing through me and in my life. Many believe that on this broad road, think of friends, family, workmates, attitude of society, attitude of the culture we live in. Many believe that there's many ways to God. There's a narrow road to God. There's a narrow gate. And Jesus said he is the gate. He is the door. There's many that go on the broad road and go, yeah, this is the life to live. This is the life. I can get to God in the end of my days. I can get to God. I can repent on my deathbed, my brother said to me one time. That's a broad road mentality. It's a dodgy mentality. It's a very risky mentality. To think we can make fools of God and live the way we want to. Very, very foolish mentality. It's a broad road mentality. Thank God that we're part of the few who travel the narrow road. It doesn't mean we're narrow-minded. Big difference. Here's another scripture that Jesus says. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. You know what? We can spend time whipping up, guilt tripping about being the workers. I'm glad that we have many workers that are part of the few that is working. I am so encouraged when I was reading this. I was like, we have some of the few in Liberty. Some of the few that actually are in the harvest field. We concentrate many times on those who are not in the harvest field. But I want to concentrate and congratulate all of those, the few who is in the harvest field. And say to you, well done. Because people are still harassed. People are still helpless. Not only in Jesus' day. People are still bruised and beaten and battered. And Jesus was saying to the disciples, and he's shown them the compassion that he had for them. Because he wanted to stir the compassion up in those who are with him, in the few. The same compassion for the helpless and the harassed. Be determined to remain part of the few in the harvest fields. Be determined to be part of the few that is consistently given of their lives and of their talents for the house of God and the things of God. I want to congratulate the few. I want to celebrate the few. I want to say to the few in the harvest field, thank you for believing in the vision of Liberty. Thank you for giving of your time. Brian's saying he's up here dealing upward with kids. And then the next statement out of his mouth was, I'm going to go down. I'm on kitchen duty. I thank you, Brian, and those who are on kitchen duty week in, week out. Why? To serve you. To serve the purposes of God. I celebrate the few that give their times of media and times of sweeping the house and times of Caroline hoovering the stairs and the landing and my office. Thanks, Caroline, from the office. I celebrate the few who give their time with the kids week in, week out, who meet with people, who pray in the house of God, who goes up to the flats and does the cafes and all the things. I celebrate you this day. Be determined to be part of the few. Don't be part of the many. Don't determine to be part of the many that is doing nothing, that talk a good game, but be part of the few Be part of those who are giving of their lives, because that's where we really find life. Say amen. There's many part times, there's many opportunities to be part of being in the harvest field, and Upward is one of them. Coming up over the next month, October, November, between a month's period, Saints and Scholars are going to be doing 4 outreaches. They're going to be doing one to, it's called Operation Live at three. Who is that to? The aged. Live at Three is a program that all the aged watched. Did you watch that, Brian? He records a Sky Plus. There's another one called The Futuristics, an outreach to young people. Operation Streetwise, an outreach to the kids. And Operation Dare is Hope, an outreach to those who are addicted and families affected by addiction. To say there's hope. To have people stand up, because the house that we have is a house full of fabulous stories. People's fabulous stories of God rescuing men and women, children, young adults, families from lives of harassment and helplessness. And we want to tell the world. We want to be in the harvest field telling this world there is a God. There is a God. And He saves and He keeps and He restores and He renews. But what am I saying there about the outreaches? It's our opportunity to be part of the few. To bring those, if we have children, bring them to Streetwise. Bring their friends to Streetwise. It will be done with excellence, don't get me wrong. It won't be kids running around. They will have a program. The Futuristics, the young people that we're all connected to. Hey, we're going to put something up there that we will not be ashamed of bringing young people to. When we get with those older folk, we will love them. Pour out our love and pour out our genuineness and our sincerity upon them. And when we get the families and people in that need hope, they will hear of a God who brings hope. It's your opportunity. Don't be part of the many. Be determined to be part of the few. Amen? And as we're out on the harvest field, I tell you guys, ask God for opportunities to tell those who are in the harvest, the plenty, those who are on the broad road, ask God for opportunity for you to tell your story. You have a powerful story. You have an incredible story of the goodness of God in your life. You have a story that people are longing to hear. You have a story that people's ears are itching to hear. And ask God, the God of the harvest fields, to ask Him, Lord, bring people by my path. Bring me by their path. Give me the boldness. Give me the courage, Lord, because I need it, to tell someone of the hope that is within. Be determined to be part of the few. Lord, I want to be part of the few that is actually working in the harvest field and not part of the ones that for whatever reasons they're not. Here's another one. The master calls all of his people to him. He gives them talents. He gives them money. Go and invest it. Go and multiply it. And you know the stories of the talents. And when one of them comes back, he gives the master what he has made with him. The master says to him, listen to this. He said, how did you invest in? He invested it wisely. The master replied, Matthew 25, verse 21, well done. Not the greatest thing you'd want Jesus to say to you. Well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. Well done, my child. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, few. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. He says he gave him little. And then Jesus said, he said, I'll give you a few things and you've been faithful with them. Now I will give you much more than a few. Now when you're faithful with the few, he gives us many. Be determined to be a member who is faithful with the few that God gives you. Be faithful with the talent that he's given you. Be faithful with the small job that you have right now. The small things, he watches us. He looks at us. He checks our heart. Will you be faithful with the little? Will you be faithful with the few? And if you are, I will give you many. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Don't despise the days when you're given something to do that seems menial. Do it with diligence. Do it faithfully. Do it with joy in your heart. Do it with faithfulness. Because promotion comes with faithfulness according to this scripture. Now, if you're faithful with the few, he will give you many. He will give you much. The Lord does not overlook faithfulness. Believe me this, if God is going to reward anything, it's faithfulness. It's putting your hand to the plow and keep on going. When the bright stars and the starlights shine and they come and go, believe me, God does not overlook those who are faithful. If you're faithful with the few, he will give you much. If you have a responsibility in the house, you're responsible for your responsibility. Be faithful with it, because God watches the heart. God watches it. I was thinking, imagine you were asked to do something in the house here. Oh, will you do the door? In your heart, like, you don't want to do it. I'm better than this. I'm bigger than this. I'm better, and I'm not going to just do that. But I'll do it because you ask me, but I'm going to do it begrudgingly. Believe me, God watches that stuff. God watches, and he says, look, if you're faithful with you, I'll give you much. And when you're faithful, he brings you on to promotion. And not only does God watch you, but I want to tell you, I watch you. Not only do I don't see your heart, God does. But if you're given anything to do, be faithful. Be diligent. Because when we're looking to promote someone, that's the stuff we talk about. Isn't that right, Peter, Rob? And we haven't got a faithful person. Now, it has to be a competent person as well, don't get me wrong. But faithfulness leads to promotion to the many, leads promotion to the much, leads promotion to what God has in the future for you. Not only does God watch you, but be part of the few that actually invest their time, their talent, and their treasure wisely, faithfully, and he will give us much. Amen? Be part of the few. And I love this part. My goodness, I'm doing good. I hadn't got this in my notes, but I felt the Lord put this on my heart. Earlier on during the worship, Gideon came to my mind. Gideon was a man who didn't think he was up to much. He didn't have much going for him in his own eyes. He felt he was weak. He felt his family was weak, and he was the weakest of his family. And it's hard going when you're the weakest of your family, isn't it? Like, that means you're like your self-worth, your self-evaluation is at an all-time low. Imagine you're looking at your brother or sister that is not up to much, and you go, man, I'm even below them. It's a long way up when you're below the lowest. And so he'd no time for himself, and he'd no time for ever and thinking that God would have anything to do for him. And turns out God appears to him. An angel of the Lord appears to him. And he speaks to him and he says, how is it going, mighty man of valor? What are you doing? What are you up to? He was hiding away in the wine press. In the wheat press, was it? Crushing grapes. Which is not where you crush grapes. He was hiding away and the Lord appears to him. He says, I have something for you. Who, me? I'm the weakest. I'm sure he was an Irishman. Because that's the first thing that we seem to say to ourselves. But it's like it's a human thing. Who mean? He goes, yeah, you're a mighty man of valor. No, you've got it wrong. And I always laugh at this because it's like the all-knowing God getting it wrong. You're right, Gideon. I meant to get George down the road. I missed the angel of the Lord. You just went to the wrong house there. And when he says your name, he has it right. When he appears to you and gives something to you to do, he gets it right every time. He knows who he's giving it to. He knows our failings, our faults. He knows what's inside of us. He knows what we can be in him, and he gives it to us. And Gideon finally gets it. He finally clicks. And I think I know where he clicked for him. God said to him, is it not I who am sending you? And I think that's where it all changed for him. It's not me. Look, it's me that has picked you. It's me that has called you. And it's me that is sending you. It's me, God. And I think he clicked it. Well, if God says it, I'm going to actually be it. I'm going to actually do it. And we know when he went to fight against the Amalekites, I think it was, that he had a huge army. Do you know what God done? He whittled it down to the few. He whittled it down to the few. He went from 300,000 or something like that to 300 people. And God gave him incredible victory with the few. Be part of the few. Don't be part of those who do it, who he was disqualifying. who he was taking out of the equation. Be determined to be part of the few. Make a decision in our hearts that I am going to be one of the few. When the few is counted, I'm going to be there. When the few is standing up, I'm going to be one of the few. I'm not going to be one of the ones that mess around, run around, and at the end of my Christian walk, get involved in something of real value. Be part of the few. This is my last point that I had in my notes. The reality is this concerning the few. He wants the many to become the few. This is the reality of it. He wants the many to become the few. The many that are out there, the many that are doing their own things, he wants them to join the company of the few. See, it's God's heart that is not only a few that finds the road that leads to life. It's God's heart that many find it. He doesn't want the few, he wants the many. It says in Peter, it says in the Message translation about that his heart is that none should perish. It says this, that he's holding back time. He's holding back the end time so that more can come in to the kingdom. It's like God has a set time, but somehow he has his hand pushing it back, saying, come on, there's more. There's more to come in. There's more to receive my son. There's more to receive forgiveness. He wants the many to become the few. In Nehemiah says this. Nehemiah was a great builder. And I enjoy working with you guys because we have some great builders of the house. We have many who are into building the house of God and liberty. And I enjoy working with you. And I enjoy watching and enjoy giving away authority and responsibility. And Nehemiah was a man that God had touched his heart because the Israel, Jerusalem had been broken down and all the marauders and all the enemies could just come in and the gates were broken and the walls were broken and the enemies could just come in and take what they wanted out of the city of God. And God touched Nehemiah's heart. He was serving the king in Persia and he touched his heart and he went before God and he wept for Jerusalem. And he became a person who went before the king, Xerxes is his name, and he went before him and he says, why are you so sad? And he says, my city is in ruins while I live here. And he says, okay, you have my favor, go back. And he goes back and he looks at Jerusalem and Jerusalem's in bits. The walls are broken, the gates are broken. And he says this in Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah says, I went to Jerusalem and after staying there a few days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told everyone what God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. He had a few people and he shared the vision and the insight of the things that God wanted to do with a few. Now I'm thinking, I want to be the few that the insights of God is being shared with. Wouldn't you? I want to be on the inside receiving the information. Nehemiah, what's God doing? Do you know who we told? The few. Those who were going to work with him. Those who are going to be in leadership with him. He told the few. And then after he told the few, he says this in verse 16. It says, the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. Because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the official or any others about the work that I would be doing. But then he says, then I said to them, eventually he went to the many. And he says to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of God which was upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began to do this good work. I want to be part of the few that the insights of God is being shared. But you know what his heart was? That he'd bring the many into the few. That he said to the many, hey guys, now I'm going to tell you what I told the few.